hot day. I was afraid I might pass out if I didn't have more water. In some denominations, that might gain me extra credit, but it might be cause for my firing if it happened here. As we close the year, which is, you know, unique to us in the Valley, actually many churches do this as well, that they kind of tend to have a year that coincides with the school calendar. I want to spend today reminding us who it is that we are. And I'm actually going to focus on just three verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. If you have your Bibles with you, please open them to 1 Corinthians 1. Right after the book of Romans. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, help us to see the depth of what we call the church in light of you and in light of your word. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I do have some notes on the bulletin that may help you follow along in the passage, but it's a very simple discussion this morning. That is, when we think about the nature of the church, what is it that we're talking about when we say that I am part of the church? What does it mean to say that I serve the church? What does it mean for us to be the church? And Paul's letter to 1 Corinthians, the beginning, is a perfect setup for this. Paul's letter to Corinth is written to what one pastor had called a church in which Christians had gone wild. If you can imagine all of the junk that is often associated with churches, the negative side of things, the things that cause controversy and uproar and dissensions and volatility and pride of place and trying to get higher in the pecking order and celebrity complexes. This is the church of Corinth. You read through it, it's a mess. And what Paul wants to say when he starts this letter off, greetings. Let me remind you, though, who you are. And if you understand that, then you're going to begin to see in the rest of this letter what it is that I'm saying. Because if you don't know who you are, then nothing in which the Lord teaches us, nothing in which we can learn from the lives of other Christians, will make any sense or have any incentive for us if we do not understand who we are as a church. And the first thing Paul wants to say is to the church of God. The church is God's. The church is that which exists by the word of God, that which he has set in place, that which he has gathered together, and it's his. So often, this very simple beginning phrase, of God, is forgotten in the midst of what we call church. Quite often, it becomes my church. We live in a day of celebrity complexes as well. And we associate church even with the charismatic personalities of their leaders. This is Pastor so-and-so's church. We like what he does. This is the church of my grandmother. And the church that she was a part of, that's what means something to me more than anything else. In the letter of Corinth, to the 1 Corinthians, there was a pecking order going on in the midst of them. They said, I follow Paul. Others says, I follow Cephas, which means Peter. I follow Paul or Apollos, and I follow Jesus. And he says, is Christ divided? No. The church is God's, or it's nothing else, which is to say the most important question we ever ask in the midst of a church is, what does God want here? What is God's will for it? We subvert and we minimize our own preferences. We put aside all of our demands to the authority of the one whose church it is. God. Now, the church is always local. That is to say, it's a place that has faces. It has dirt underneath it. The church of God, where? In Corinth. He's going to write different letters to different churches based upon the needs that they have there. There's no generic church. It's always unique. It's always filled with people from differing backgrounds, different economic structures, different jobs, different careers, different family sizes, different races, different colors. Some coming from a background in which they've been raised in the church, and that's all they know. And some coming from a background in which they know nothing about God. They know nothing about the rules that are already in place in the midst of a church. And usually, in the midst of a setting like that, what are you going to have? You're going to have some tension. You're going to have some disagreements. But it's God's, not mine, not yours, not your grandparents. Everything that happens in the midst of our church, first and foremost, is related to God. It's God's church that He sets in place. The most important thing we do is, what does God want from us? Secondly, he says, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus. Which is to say, the word literally means to be set apart, to be made holy. It's to be taken from a place of darkness and brought into a place of light. To be taken of a place in which we are lost and now we are found. To be taken from a place in which we're full of desperate unrighteousness. Which means that we're moved from a place in which we look at ourselves and we say, there's nothing good in me. And move to a place in which we can say, I have been redeemed. I have been saved. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Now, this second line is a counter to those who would say that they are a part of a church because of how good they are. This might be a critique of conservatives in the midst, in which they say that God has shown favor on me kind of simply because of who I am, what I've done. He must have seen something really good in me to put me in a place of a church. In a church, there can be no arrogance about our standing in it. We are called to be part of a church not by anything within us, not by any goodness, not by any track record that we have, not because of our parents or our grandparents. We are members of a church only by the grace of God. No one can say that I'm a part of a church because of how good I am. None of you paid any membership fees to be a part of the church. How much money you gave on an annual basis is not that which makes you a part of a church. If your grandparents happen to donate the baptismal font, that's not the reason why you're a member of a church. You're a member of a church simply because you have been moved from a place of darkness into light. You have been wholly apart from yourselves, given grace, made holy. It only happens in Jesus. The most important words, which he finishes in verse 3, is grace. I want to remind you, grace. You exist by grace. He has taken you up from stumbling and falling and planted you on your feet. We are always in danger of looking to ourselves. And Paul wants to say, no, you are set apart simply because of the grace that comes to you through whom? Jesus Christ. It's not an abstract sense of grace. It is not a sense of divine favor that we just say generically, God showed me his grace. We mean it specifically, that what has happened to us only through Jesus Christ coming to teach us, coming to die for us, die for our sins, and to be raised from the dead. New life. People who are part of a church understand that they exist in a church only by grace. But thirdly, people in the church are called to be his holy people. Same root word as the one sanctified. Same word in Greek, just a different tense. The first part, we are made holy by God. Now he says, you should be holy ones. People who are holy, which is to say, you begin to live now in light of what you've been given. It's like having a family, right? You give your child a name. They have a last name, that they're part of your family. They are brought into who you are simply by the nature of grace. But the calling for you as a parent is to teach them to what? Live in the name they've been given, right? Here's who you are. Here is your history. Here's your legacy. Now begin to live in that. It's a really a tension in the Christian life that God calls us to live in the grace in which he places us. How do I begin to live something that has been freely given to me? That is what it is, to be moved from a place of darkness, but now live in that light. I was at a missions conference last year in Berkeley, and prior to the conference, we watched a movie about global slavery. And something you'll want to be paying attention for June 7th. We're going to have an evening that night to talk about it. But in this movie, there was a man named Nicholas Kristof, who was an editorial writer for the New York Times. And he has done a number of editorial writings throughout the world on various things. And he had gone to Southeast Asia and reported on global slavery down there, entering into places where young women were held for slavery for purposes that you all know. And he talked to his editorial team, the New York Times, to wire him some money so he could go and buy them, get them out of the place in which they had been put. And he did, and he brought these girls out, and he brought them to their hometowns, and there was this amazing, amazing homecoming, this glorious sense that they have now been set free from the prison they were in. It was such a wonderful thing, and yet one girl who had become addicted to the drugs that they were given, who had become used to the life that was going on there, ran miles after mile after mile back into the life in which she'd just been set free from. And he said, we've got to do a better job of understanding that we need to teach them now how to live in freedom. Or else they're going to run back into the slavery in which they've been delivered from. God's calling on the church is to teach us to live in the grace and the freedom that we've been given. And we all know tragically how often people who have been moved by the grace of God to a place of deliverance run back to that life, caught in the slavery of selfishness, caught in the slavery of enticing sin. They have shown a sense of goodness of the Lord in coming down and doing that which they couldn't do for themselves, and yet they long for the life from which they've been delivered. Paul says no. The rest of his letter is a big no to that, saying, how can you who have been moved to see the light go back into darkness? How can you who understands the weight of having your sins being forgiven, the release of knowing that you don't have to pay the price for that, why would you go back and begin to enjoy the pleasures that you've been delivered from? It's not pleasure, it's slavery. He says you are called to be holy, to live a life in which honesty, in which integrity, in which character define you. This is not to say that you won't stumble and fall. It's not to say that you won't find yourself on the road at times back to that life. But it is to say that he's called you to be holy. That truth should matter for you. That grace shouldn't be assumed and taken advantage of. You can't live in the village and in the brothel at the same time. You can't live in the freedom of the fields and also in the dungeon at the same time. We're called to be holy people, set apart for the Lord, which is where we get the definition church. Church is a combination of two words, ek and kaleo, called out. And in the ancient times, it would be an assembly of people that were called out by a trumpet or called out by a town crier, saying, come out of your homes and gather in the main place, and now we are going to exist as a people. We're going to talk about our identity apart from our personal houses. And the church took on this word. All the writers of the New Testament call the body of believers a church, a people who are called out. And they're called out in both ways. They are people who have been called out by God, come out of the life that you once knew, and live now as free people. And also, a challenge to the people to say, listen, you are to be called out and to live a life differently from that which the world lives. If the world is lusting after money, you should be desiring generosity. If the world will do anything to get ahead, including dishonesty and running over people, you will be defined by integrity and serving the least of these. If the world wants to glorify the celebrities and the beautiful, you will go to the people whom nobody notices and pay attention and show them the love that God has shown them. This is church. And too often we confuse the details of church with this beautiful reality. I was reminded of this a number of weeks past. I have some new responsibilities in the presbytery. I'm doing a lot of meetings. I was doing some meetings down in Modesto. I had a number of things to come back to. I had to write up an evaluation. It was going to be hard. It was going to be difficult, a lot of time. I had a lot of things going on that, for me, are just part of my job. And yet, I've distinctly felt the Lord saying, you need to make a stop on the way home at the hospital. And I thought, I still have a lot to do. And if I don't get it done, there's going to be a lot of trouble. But I went to this hospital, and I walked in to this room and to a man who was dying. And the man had just said, I just asked for you. And at that moment, I said, this is church. Not to say I still would have to go do the details of that day, but this is church. Where God had called me to be set apart for him this day, not for me. And in which I was able to talk to a guy whom he was in the process of setting apart for himself. And he did. He died trusting in the Lord. This is church. When teachers gather here week in and week out to teach our children the love of God and the grace that comes through Jesus Christ, this is church. When our church bands together to raise money to feed starving people in Zimbabwe, this is church. When a kid who has never darkened the doors of a church, whose family is going through rough times, who knows nothing about the Lord, walks into our youth doors and becomes a regular attender of our youth group, this is church. When people are gathering together to pray for each other in the midst of difficult circumstances without broadcasting everybody's junk around, but praying and supporting and uplifting, this is church. Not that the details are not important, but the church is the most important thing. When people from different backgrounds and different temperaments can forgive each other and sit next to each other, let grudges go, and support each other even though they know they have nothing in common, this is church. Because why? It's God. And we understand that we are what? Set apart by God. By no doing on our own part. And we are called by God to live for Him. This is church. Every week I hear Ryan Seacrest on American Idol at the beginning. It's a very unique cadence. And this is American Idol. I hope the Lord does for you at times what He did for me that day. Say, Troy, this is church. Don't confuse all of the details with that. Don't confuse all the things we don't like about church with that. Because it's God's. We have been set apart by Him and called to be for Him. That is church. Let's pray. Lord, help us to see that this is Your church, to be reminded of it if we've forgotten it. If we have become tired of the routine, may our eyes be open to what You are doing in our midst, in which You are bringing people from darkness into light, in which You are showing people hope who have no hope, in which You are taking children who are a hair's breadth away from throwing all their lives away, and moving them into a place in which they know love when they don't feel it at home. When You are moving people with hard hearts to repentance, when You are moving people who have known about the faith all their lives and now seeing it afresh, You are taking people who've never, ever heard and waking them up. Help us to see this is church. Move us to continue to serve each other with joy, to come to church with joy in our hearts, knowing that You are going to be here. You are going to do something in our midst. I'm going to lay aside everything that's on my mind and pay attention to You. May we see this. May we be it, the ones called out from darkness into His marvelous light. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.